And I know she went to camp this summer. Praise God for her. I remember when I was growing up, I had a Smokey the Bear teddy bear. And Smokey the Bear would go on the television and he would say, "Only you can prevent forest fires." And I still have that Smokey the Bear teddy bear when I go to my house in Michigan, which I will need to do. Still there. We have to do some business with that at the end of summer. And that Smokey the Bear will be there, and I'm going to make sure I bring it with me if we get rid of the house. But forest fires can spread very quickly. Somebody leaves a campfire unattended, and it can just catch a wind can catch it, and it just spreads. And especially if it's, you know, not a lot of water, not a lot of rain, it just spreads all over. Out west especially California, where they don't cut trees down properly because they worship the environment. Gavin Newsom. They have forest fires, and they're going to be very devastating. And yet there are good things about fire when it's God's fire. And today, that's what I want to talk about. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 1, I want to look at verse 45 for the text this morning. And it says there in verse 45, "And a man blazed abroad the matter." And you think of blazing and you think of a fire, a blazing hot fire, and how that blazing fire spreads. And a man had a message, and it just went like a fire. It just spread. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This message that this man shared just spread. And it was not bad news. It was good news. You know, sometimes bad news spreads fast. Gossip spreads fast. But this was good news, and it spread like a fire as it blazed. He blazed abroad the manner, it says. And that's in Mark. Let's look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 45, and I'll read it. It says there, "But he went out," speaking of this man, "and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Now, I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The message of Christianity, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not so much taught as it's caught. It spreads, and it's like a fire that spreads. And so the name of my message this morning is, are you on fire with the good news? Are you on fire with the good news? Are you ablaze? Are you burning? And I want to say three things about that from Mark 1:45. If you are on fire with the good news, number one, then you will publish it much. Notice verse 45, the first phrase, it says, "But he went out and began to publish it much." Notice the word "but" there. It went against what Jesus told him. Jesus said, "Look, don't spread this. Don't tell people about this." What did he do? He was a leper. He was incurably dying of leprosy. He had a very bad disease that was contaminating, and he had to be away from his family, away from his friends. Lepers could not live amongst their family and friends. They had to live on the outside of the city in leper colonies. And they would have to say, "Unclean, unclean," when anybody get near to them. It was very contagious and incurable. And this man heard Jesus was doing what's called messianic miracles. He was offering the kingdom of God on earth, and so that's why he healed lepers. That's why he cast out devils. That's why he did these sign gifts of the kingdom, and this man had that opportunity. But Jesus told him, "I'm going to heal you," and he did heal him. And the leprosy immediately left him, and he was cured. But he said, don't spread this. Why? Because the nation of Israel wasn't ready for their kingdom. He said, just go to the priest, offer the sacrifice for cleansing from leprosy. That will be your testimony. But don't spread it all around. Don't be ablaze with this thing and spread it around. And that was Jesus' counsel, because the Israelites were not ready. And the kingdom of God was withdrawn after it was presented by the Lord and then by the apostles later on. It was withdrawn from Israel, and Israel is now under blindness. But this man with the leprosy, he had the cure. And he knew Jesus was the cure. And he was the kind of guy that wanted people to get the help that they needed. You know, I was visiting with Lois Davey yesterday. I saw her in the hospital and saw that she was getting sick. And I knew that she was failing. And it's not pretty when you go into old age places. It's not pretty. And there are people, they reach out to you, and all these older people are reaching out to me, and there's, you know, as I'm going through, and they want some attention, they want some help, they want, and there's so many of them. And it's not pretty. Death is not pretty. And let me tell you, we don't like to bring that stuff out in the open. We in our world, we try to hide it. But the fact of the matter is, death is not pretty. And hell is not pretty after death. And we have sinned against Almighty God. And we have an incurable disease that's going to bring us into the grave eventually. And then into hell itself, because we'll have to pay for that sin. And so it is something that is very bad. And we're in a mess here. And when I went to see Lois, I knew she had a short time in this world. And she looked like somebody that was dying. But thank God she had the cure. Amen. And thank God we sang "How Great Thou Art" in that room, and her eyes were twitching, because I believe she liked that. And I'll tell you, there's only one thing that will give you what you need when you're on that deathbed, and this is the cure that's in this book right here. Amen. And what if you had a pill that would cure any kind of fatal disease, and you had a bunch of those pills, you had bottles of those pills given to you? How would you use them? What would you do with them? Or would you just keep them to yourself? I don't think so. And so I want to say that are you on fire with the gospel? Are you on fire with the good news? I'm talking about you that have had leprosy and you've been healed. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus said, by his stripes we're healed. When he got whipped, he did that so that we could be healed, and that we could be healed, and though we would die, it would not be fatal. It would not be something that would take us into the second death, that we're going to rise from the dead. We're going to overcome. That's why he got whipped, so we could be healed. He heals our relationship with God, which is broken by sin. He heals our relationship with other people that are broken by sin. And have you been healed by the gospel? Are you experiencing the healing power of the gospel? Many of you had. Well, if you have, then you should publish it much. That's what this man did. He went out and began to publish it much. And there's an amazing verse that talks about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to quote that verse. It says in 2 Timothy 1:10, "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." You know, gospel is good news. I think of people I've shared good news with. I've shared this good news, and maybe you've heard me say it in the church over the last 8 years. I said, I'm not a prophet, but I hang around with the prophets. And I said, I believe that God is a God of justice, and God is a God of judgment, and he could judge America, But I believe he's also merciful, and he's going to spare America and give us an opportunity. And I said, I believe he's going to raise up Donald Trump to be the president. And God has chosen to use him to judge the systems of evil over America that have been really over this country since World War II. And how many of you have been seeing on the news now where Trump, through talking to Roger Stone, has decided to release all the Jeffrey Epstein information? How many of you have heard Tulsi Gabbard, the DNI, and how she has decided to release all the truth that has been hidden for all these many years about Barack Obama and his crimes? All right, how many of you have heard me saying that Barack Obama is going to be brought to justice? Yeah. Now, I've had people that say, Pastor, what you say is happening. It's coming true. But I've had some people say, and when I've said that, they've rolled their eyes. Oh, sure. That will never happen. That will never happen. There'll never be judgment brought down on the wicked people that have been controlling our country. That won't happen. And I talked to somebody or text somebody about that the other day, and I said, you know, even now this is happening and you don't believe it. You remind me of people outside Noah's Ark when the rain is coming down and the flood is coming down and Noah's in the ark and they're about ready to be drowned and they see the rain and they're saying, oh, I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. See, the good news of the gospel is something that brings life and immortality to light. What is life? Well, life is something that satisfies an empty place inside of you. And when you believe the gospel about Jesus Christ, you have a relationship to the true and the living God. I heard a testimony from a Saudi Arabian princess girl. And she was saying she was raised in luxury. Her father was wealthy, mega wealthy, and she had everything she wanted. And her father let her take because everything was kept from her about Christianity. But she had a sense of being in a desert inside of her. She lacked a relationship with God. She had the Islamic religion, but it was dead and it wasn't satisfying to her. And she was a young lady, a beautiful young lady. And she wanted something more. But her father let her have a class on English from Oxford. And in that class, the teacher, the professor, started to introduce Jesus Christ to the class. And she was hearing it, but she had to code it and hide it because it wasn't allowed in her home or in her country. She could be killed for it. Saudi Arabia. But this young lady, she kept getting more information until she personally put her faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And people started noticing a difference in her life. They said, what's different in your life? There's something different about you. And she was scared that they were going to figure it out and find it out. And finally, her father did find it out. And he brought the religious police in to take her into custody, his own daughter. She wound up staging a crisis and escaped to Greece, and she's in a poor place there, but she said she's rich. She has a relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm saying that when this leper got cured, he realized it was something real. It was something wonderful. And have you been cured by Jesus Christ? Have you been given a hope in Jesus and a relationship to him? Then you will publish it much like this man did, this leper did. He couldn't keep it in. He started sharing it with everybody. And I'm saying that is such a blessing. And you know, God blessed the nation of Israel, and he raised up Joshua after Moses. And God raised up Joshua to bring Israel across the Jordan River and into the promised land. And the Bible said that that was such good news that he did that. But many people didn't believe it. They didn't believe that God would bring them into the promised land. But I want to say that the Lord is saving people, and he wants us to publish much about him being the Savior. You know, I heard about Hulk Hogan dying. 71 years of age, Hulk Hogan. Jesse Krisge came up to me this morning. He said, I heard you had lunch with Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan. And I said, would you be impressed with that? Wow, Hulk Hogan? You had lunch with Hulk Hogan? I said, no, you misunderstood. It was Kent Hovind. Kent Hovind, Jesse. I'm just saying, I heard that Hulk Hogan died. WrestleMania, you know. And I was sad because only 71 years of age? That seems like a spring chicken to me. And he died 71 years of age. I'm like, wow, that is sad. And I thought about him because most people that die, they have incurable sin cancer and they're going to hell. And I said, I'd hate to see that. And then somebody sent me information where Hulk Hogan got saved by Jesus Christ. I was so happy. And I heard him giving his testimony about Jesus and how Jesus had healed him inside and given him purpose and meaning and saved him. And I was like, praise the Lord. And he was his family was broke up, you know, because of his sin, but he was trying to heal that. And perhaps God will use his death to work in his family now. It's so great to hear that. He had a guy, I forgot the guy's name. Jesse, what is it? Guy he wrestled with. Roddy Piper or something like that. What is it? Roddy Piper. That's right. Roddy Piper. And he had this guy, Roddy Piper. And he said, he said everything's scripted in wrestling. He said, but I never liked Roddy Piper. He didn't like me. We were not. He said, then just before he died, he got a message on his phone from Roddy Piper, just before Hulk Hogan died. And he said, Roddy Piper, who gave him that message, then died. So he gave him the message, and then Roddy Piper died. And he's like listening to that message 2 days after Piper died, and he said, basically, I've been saved by Jesus, and I wanted to tell you that. And I'm just thinking, there's a Saudi Arabian girl over there in Islam, and that Jesus wants to save the world. He's saving people from the world because that's his plan. And when he saves you, you're being cured of something that is worse than leprosy, and you get healed by him. And it's such a wonderful thing what Jesus does. And you should be willing to share that with others. And it said this leper, even though Jesus said, don't share it, they're not ready, He still did. He published it much because he wanted to help people. I remember a young man coming to me, a Puerto Rican background, Jose Tatis. You know, some of you know Heaven, it was her father, Jose Tatis. And he came to me and he had been saved and gotten right with God. And he was in a relationship where he was living with a woman, not being married to her. No testimony for a Christian, by the way, to be staying in a home of a woman. You're not married to her, amen? That's a bad testimony. And he said, I don't want to do that, Pastor. I want to get married. He went out soul winning with me, and he used to counsel with me after church for hour after hour for a few weeks. Then we went out soul winning, and he translated, like people that spoke Spanish, he translated the English into Spanish when I was talking to him, and their words back to me. He was doing all that. That was on a Thursday night. Well, the next day we had a wedding plan downstairs for he and his fiance that he was living with, named Charlene, and they were supposed to get married. Charlene Fanning. And I said, yeah, we'll do that. I said, is she a believer? He said, yeah. So that day, he didn't show up for the wedding. And I thought, man, he stood me up after all this. I went up to his house on Putnam. It wasn't there. Came back. Went up there again. Wasn't there. So that whole day went by, and I was like, well, boy, that wasn't good. I told people to help me. And then we, next day, we went to a prayer meeting at church here, Men's Revival Seekers prayer meeting, and Brother Zukowski, I remember him saying, I heard something about a Jose. Let me look this up. A guy got shot. And come to find out, he had been sent to the store to get something. And when he went to the store, he was standing in line to purchase the something he was sent for. And a guy was in the store and took a pistol out and shot him in the head. He went to the hospital and then died. I went down to Hazleton. They had a funeral down there. And they had a Catholic priest, but he was overworked. He couldn't handle all the funerals that he had. And I heard there was nobody there, you know, to speak, no pastor, nobody. And I said, I'll help out. I went to his relatives, I'll help out. They said, please, please give the message. And I told them about Jose Tatis and how he was saved and how he was living for the Lord. And then suddenly he was shot and taken out of this world. I didn't know what God was doing. It seemed strange to me. But I told the people there, and 30 people raised their hands to say that they were putting their faith in Jesus Christ. See, God wants this cure out there. God wants this testimony out there today, because Jesus doesn't tell us don't do it like he told this guy, this kingdom message. No, Jesus said go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature. Jesus said go and teach all nations. And so he wants us to get it out there. And he said that he has given us the opportunity to get the message out there. And I so appreciate this church and people in this church. When you want to make it manifest, that means to make it clear, and to get the good news out there and publishing it much. And I think of Brother Sarge. You know, Brother Sarge, he made a pancake breakfast. And he said, you know, I want to make a pancake breakfast. I want to open it up to the whole church, Pastor. Then he said, I want another guy that used to come to our church to come. And then that guy brought some unsaved guys there. And they came to the pancake breakfast. And I saw the deacons sitting together at a table and all the workers sitting together at the table. And then I saw this guy that wasn't in our church, and he had these two guys come in that were not saved. And they were sitting there, and they were the only ones at the table. So while these other guys sat and ate with each other, I ate with the publicans, Brother Joe, and the sinners. and we're eating together. And I found out, you know, I got into giving the gospel. Amen. And Sarge was like, yes, Pastor, go for it. Because that's what this dinner is all about. We want to. You remember that when Levi got saved, he brought all the publicans and sinners there, and they had a meal, and Jesus ate with them. And the Pharisees said, what are you doing eating with those guys? You should be fellowshipping with us. And he said, basically, why would I fellowship with a bunch of vipers like you? I came to save sinners, you know. And so We were talking, and I was telling these guys about Jesus and telling them that the hardest thing is to get people not saved but lost, because these guys thought because they'd done good works, you know, they were going to go to heaven. And one of them prayed to receive Christ. They were both in rock bands and punk rock bands. In fact, the one guy was in a band that I heard of called Twisted Sister. We're not gonna take it. You know? How many have heard of Twisted Sister? Yeah, okay. And he was in that band. And the one guy prayed to receive Christ. And I told the guy that brought him, get him out to church. Get him out to church. Because I sense, you know, he need to get out to church and hear the Word of God. I'm just saying, are you on fire with the good news? You've been cured if you're saved by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's given you the cure for the world. He wants to save the world. He died for the world. And I believe if you are on fire with this message, then you will publish it much. He wants you to be publishing it much. And are you doing that? Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:10 that he abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I used to be afraid of dying. I was a hypochondriac as a kid. I was afraid at night when the lights were out and my door was open in the closet. I would always have to shut the closet door. Why? Because a big dog would come out of that door with three legs and one leg hanging. Because my friend told me that that's what happened to his dog when he got hit by a car. And I would conjure that up in my dreams. And I was so afraid of that dog. I'd have to have the light on, the door shut. But man, when I got saved, no more. I can go home right now and shut that door. I'm in that room. It doesn't scare me anymore. Why? Because I got somebody greater than death. Somebody greater than the devil. He is the real thing. Let's get real this morning. This is real. We're not just playing church here. We're not just going through dead religion here. We have the one who abolished death. And he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Tom's going to have to plug his ears. I'm yelling so loud. Tom said to me, he said, "You yell loud." He said, "Then I realized Dutch people are loud." I'm half Dutch. But I do have something to yell about, amen. You guys will listen to Twisted Sister and not mind it. Break your eardrums. I'm talking about somebody that'll untwist your sister and make her straight. I'm talking about somebody that'll heal. I'm talking about somebody, even if you die, you're going to live again and live forever and have a glorified body and walk and leap and praise God.
Forever.
He's real. This is real. And you ought to publish it much. We got people publishing a lot of stuff much, but we got too little publishing much of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my friend. And that's what we ought to be doing. And the Bible says we ought to be doing that. And that's why, by the way, we have this church Thursday night soul winning. All church. We ought to all be involved in that. What does it say? Many are willing to sit around the table, but far too few, you have that song, are willing to work in the field. How many are there on a Thursday night? Or on a Saturday soul winning at 11:15? Thursday night at 6 o'clock, 11:15 a.m. I'm just saying, we sent out about four teams. We were low last Thursday. We sent out four teams. One team had four people pray to receive Christ. My team had three people pray to receive Christ. Had seven professions of faith just in those two. Do you believe if we had more teams and more people, that more people would get saved? Oh, I do. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? The Bible says that if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you just put a little seed in the ground, you're not going to get much from it. But if you put a lot of seed in prepared ground, you're going to get a lot back from it. That's the law of sowing and reaping. By the way, the same thing is true of money. If you hold your money, don't give it, you won't get anything back for it. I'm saying that you and I should be publishing it much more than we do. And if we do go out, we should do more and make that extra effort, because God will bless that. God will bless that work. And not only on a Thursday night or a Saturday at 11:15 in the morning, but as you go, are you ready to publish it much? Are you ready to give the two questions? Are you ready with tracts? You know, my wife and I, we went out Tuesday to a grocery store. And my wife wanted to buy a couple things. She needed a couple things. I said, well, listen, you're with Daddy Warbucks. The sky's the limit. She said, I'm going to give you a hug. We went there and we got our food, and I was going out of the store, and as we're going out of the store, we ran into a lady called Lisa, and she's Bobby's friend, and she's come to our church, and Lisa said, Pastor, can you get me a ride for Wednesday night service? I said, we'll get you a ride. Who's going to do it? I said, oh, we'll get Jesse. So it worked out. But her sister was there, and she lives with her sister. And I asked her sister, if you died today and stood before God, if you died today, are you 100% sure you get to heaven? Then I said, if you died today and stood before God, and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? And she didn't have the right answer. And I went through the gospel, and she prayed to receive Christ. Tears were coming down her eyes, and Lisa was crying, and Cindy, her sister, was crying. I took their information. Now, I don't know if Cindy got saved. God knows that, amen? But I know I want to be publishing the good news much. And I know the more I publish it, listen to me, and the more you publish it, by the way, the more people will get saved. This leper was told by Jesus, don't say anything. He was telling everybody. But Jesus says to you, tell everybody. Publish it much. Go ahead, I'll bless you. He likes it when you do that. He wants you to do that. I want to say this morning, are you on fire with the good news? Then you will publish it much. And secondly, then you will be on fire. As we read before, notice verse 45, it said he went out and began to publish it much. Then look at the next phrase, verse 45 of Mark 1, and to blaze abroad the matter. That means it spread like fire through this guy. And God wants what we're doing to spread. You know, Christianity, as I said, is not so much taught, it's caught. It's supposed to spread. It's like people get around you, they get the light of the truth. And they're confronted with. People get around you, they get the heat of the warmth of the love of Jesus. Amen. Some Christians are dark and cold. But not this guy. He was hot and helpful. And it was like a fire going on. And I think of John Wesley, the great evangelist. He said, you need to pour oil over yourself and light yourself on fire, and people will come to watch you burn. I think in Acts chapter 2, the early church was praying for the oil of the Holy Spirit to be poured all over them, and then for God to light that on fire so that people would be interested in what they were saying. They were praying for that in the Bible in Acts chapter 2. And what happened? That is exactly what happened. It says that they were on fire. They were on fire. They were all on fire, and they burned with the gospel. And this leper here, he was cured by a touch of the Lord Jesus, and it says he began to blaze abroad the manor. You know, I was going out on Thursday night, this past Thursday night, and I went and visited a guy who happens to be the uncle of a guy that's been in our church that lives in another state. And I talked to him, and he opened up to me about problems in his life, and I got into the gospel with him. And I was kind of surprised. I thought, because his family, you know, his brother was saved, who is the father of the guy that was in our church. I thought maybe he was saved. But no, he wasn't. And I gave him the gospel, and he was not ready, he said. But then I persuaded him. I gave different persuasions why you need to get saved right now. And he said, yes, Pastor, I will right now. And he prayed to receive Christ. And I tried to visit him, and he wasn't home after that. But I got a text from his brother who lives out of state. He's given money to our church. He's a born-again believer, a good man. And his brother said, Pastor, thank you for leading my brother to the Lord. He told me he got saved. And I was like, wow, that made me happy. And he said, thank you for talking to my son. He helped my son. He was thanking me for that. Just a good guy. He's a very thankful man. Good man. And he said about his brother, he said, that's an answer to prayer. You see, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were all with one accord in one place. And they were praying for the fire to fill them. Do you know that they were gathered together there to get the good news out about Jesus, that people needed to be saved in Jerusalem by Jesus? They were gathered together. That was their purpose, and they were going to be witnesses. But they knew, in addition to their purpose of witnessing, they needed the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so they were praying for that. And they were lit on fire. In fact, when the Holy Spirit filled them, it said there were like tongues of fire burning over the heads of the apostles, which was this power of the Holy Spirit is like the fire of God. And it did spread. In fact, people came to watch them burn. I don't know, we had presence on this side too. Amen. We got presence over here, presence over here. I was going to step down there. I'm glad I didn't. We'd be in trouble. But I'm just saying that, you know, soul winning, telling people about Jesus and praying for the power of God to help you burn with love for Jesus, and that goes together like peanut butter and jelly. What God has joined together, which is soul winning and the revival of the old time power of God, God said, what God has put together, let that man put asunder. I'm so thankful for our men's revival seekers prayer meeting. We had eight people there Saturday morning. And the men were praying. And they were then going to go out and do soul winning. But boy, you put that together, prayer. And that's what you see in the book of Acts. They had number one purpose. And their purpose was, we are here to get people saved. By the way, why are you here? What are you doing here? Isn't it better to be in heaven? Isn't it better to be with Jesus? Join Lois. Doesn't the Bible say precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints? It's better to be there, let me tell you. Now, I've been around a while, I can tell you even more now. The longer you live, the more you'll realize how much better it is. Right? I'm talking to you old fogies now, you know. You young people will learn it soon enough. But I'm saying you're here for a reason. And what's the main reason you're here? To get people saved through the gospel. To publish it much. And to be on fire so that people will get it. And so they had that purpose, and they were in one accord about that purpose. And then they had prayer. And when they prayed, guess what? They had power from the Holy Spirit. And then what do? They published it much. And then what happened? People got saved. And then what happened? The devil persecuted them. And then what happened? They went back to their purpose and their prayer. And they got the power and published it much. And more people got saved. And more. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep doing that. That's what I'm here for. I know it. I know it. I saw Dr. Jack Hiles. When I went out there to pastor school, I saw how he prayed and had the power of God. I saw people, Puerto Rican background, Mexican background, every country, every nationality. He had them all marched in front of us and just showed all these different people getting saved, all these families getting saved. And that brings me to the conclusion here about this. And I want to read it to you as we bring this to the conclusion. Look at verse 45, the last part. It says that he began to blaze abroad the matter. He published it much, number one. Number two, he was on fire. And number three, in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. What happened? They had so many people that went to Jesus. Why? Because of that leper. Because of that leper. And they came. Listen, you can tell if you're publishing it much, and you can tell if you're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, because you will see people coming. They'll come. They'll come to your church. They'll get on your bus. Praise God. Brother Matthew had 36 on his bus. They're coming. They'll come. They'll get baptized. They'll join the church. They'll come. I was out there in Hammond. I saw them. They came from all over. I'm saying this building should be filled. Every seat. So people can't even get in. And then we have to have two services on a Sunday morning. And I'll be happy to preach twice on Sunday morning. Two different congregations. I'll be happy. I'm available. Lord. But listen to me. Are you on fire so that you're publishing it much and praying for Holy Ghost power so that you are not only publishing it much, but that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You're on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you're getting people. People are coming. Very searching. Let's pray. Let's bow for prayer. We've been talking about, are you on fire?